you would, please, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for an opportunity to come before you to praise and worship. And thank you in the midst of calamity, in the midst of turmoil, to come and say thank you. Lord, as we prepare to share this message today, I ask that you'll just make it everything that you would have it to be, that hearts might be challenged and minds might be challenged and souls might be saved to the glory of God. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. And we ask that you'll order everything as you have ordered it all before. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Amen. Okay. We have, it's good evening, good morning. Good to be here with everybody on Facebook. And just want to let you know, I'm looking forward to the time to where we could all come back, get back to a sense of normalcy. Amen. And worship and we're worshiping together right now, but we're not fellowshipping. We want to be together and fellowship and hug and encourage one another. So y'all continue to pray and ask God for guidance and wisdom. So today, we are going to be in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. Now, as you turn there, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 29 through 31, I just want you to know we're coming up. Today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is a day that we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus. He's headed to Jerusalem. And we're coming up on Easter. Next Sunday is going to be Easter, Resurrection Sunday. But right now, our nation, and not only just our nation, but the world is locked down and everybody's got their mind on death. We're not a religion of death. We're a people of life. And not only that, Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And in this message that we're going to be talking about today in the Gospel of John is where it's going to focus on where Jesus says that through him you can have eternal life. Let's go to that scripture. Let's go to that text. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. And this is right after Jesus had had his encounter with the apostle Thomas. And what had happened was Jesus had risen from the dead and he had met with the other disciples in the upper room, and Thomas wasn't present at the time. And so now he's come back to present himself to Thomas. And the Bible says that he spoke to Thomas. He says, Thomas, You can touch my palms. You can put your hand into my side. And he said, and don't be faithless. And then he moves on and he says to Thomas in verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. Today we're going to use as a title, that you might believe and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This text, it even starts off by saying, blessed are the ones who believe it and have never seen me. There's nobody in this listening audience here or on Facebook who has seen Jesus in the flesh. And he says, that's not essential for you to see Jesus in the flesh. He says, I'm going to give you enough evidence that you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that through him you might have eternal life. This whole thing about eternal life, this whole thing that people are talking about, death. John says, I wrote this book specifically so that you might believe what we're talking about. But this is an unabashed advertisement for Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. There is nothing holding back on this in this entire Gospel of John. Nothing is being held back. He's saying, I'm not even thinking about this other religion, that other religion. He says, I'm telling you, my purpose for writing this book is that you might be convinced of who Jesus is and who the Bible says he is. In Genesis 2:16-17, I want to start off by telling people, when we talk about death and life and death and things like that, you have to go back in the Hebrew scriptures to understand where this whole thing of death came from. Because when you're talking to people about life and death and evolution and all those kinds of things, when I talk to people who talk to me about evolution, they always want to argue with me about, well, how life began. How did life begin? And they've got their arguments down pat. They've thought it through. But one portion of their argument they never thought through. Whenever they're talking about how it took billions and millions of years to regenerate and evolve and this, that, and the other, nobody ever took the time to try to figure out, if you were able to generate your own life no matter how many billions of years ago, why do you die? Why do you die? Well, in order to get those answers, because if you don't have those answers, you can't proceed into understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You won't get there. So first you go back here to Genesis 2:16-17, and I want you to know, a lot of people malign the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a mean God. He does all these evil things. He brings death and destruction. When you read this text, understand that before death came into the world, which was brought in by the sin of man, God offered man freedom. The Creator started off offering us freedom. Genesis 2:16-17. And it reads, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. God is saying to the man, he says, he created the man, he put him in the garden, he says, look, take a look around. This is a perfect environment. He goes, whatever you want to eat, it's all here. Whatever you want to eat. And not only is that here, but here's what life more abundantly is, that what Jesus talks about, and we'll get to that in the New Covenant. Here's what life more, God says, the Bible says that God used to come down in the cool of the day and fellowship with them. God says you can freely eat whatever you want to eat, and in the cool of the day, I'll come down and fellowship with you. But then in verse 17, he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Bible, you know the story. You know the story. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were in the garden. The serpent spoke to Eve, convinced Eve, tricked Eve into eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible says that Eve turned and gave it to her husband Adam, and he ate also. And it says that Adam, the sin of Adam, brought in death and suffering. Not God. The sin of Adam brought in death and suffering. Now, if you reject that, these are some foundational things. If you reject that death came in through sin, then the whole Christian narrative of Palm Sunday, Easter, and resurrection, all of those narratives are nonsense. If there is no original sin that brings in death, if there is no real, actual, literal Adam and Eve who did what God disobeyed God, then there is no need for Easter. So for the Christians who think, well, you know, I don't really have to believe in all Adam and Eve and things like that, If there is no literal original sin, then there's nothing to pay for at the cross. So when you read about the cross, you're also taking in the truth of the old covenant that God gave to the Jews themselves. So, and when you see when you see people dying, like even here now, where you know people are dying and people been sick, even before COVID-19, people were getting sick, and you pick up the newspaper and you'd read, what was the cause of death? And the cause of death varies. It could be sickness, it could be car wreck, it could be accident. The cause of death always varies. But the reason for death is because of sin. The reason for death is because of sin, because the wages of sin is death. That's why you can see where the doctors are perplexed, because some people, they'll have an injury that is so awful, and they just know the person's gone, and the person survives, because it God controls the coming in and the going out. And so you have the cause of death could be varied. The reason for death is always sin, because the wages of sin is death. And but today in this lesson, we're going to talk about the antidote for sin, the antidote for death. And that is faith in Christ, believing that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, and he is the Son of God. We're going to talk about this man named Jesus. And then we're going to talk about the four signs of the Messiah. And then we're going to talk about a call for a decision. And also this thing called faith. So when we talk about this man named Jesus, turn your Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 22. John chapter 4, verses 22. And remember, John, the apostle John is saying, I am giving you this is a biased statement. He's telling you, I believe this. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I am unabashedly putting him up there and saying, you examine him and see what conclusion you come to. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 22. John chapter 4. Verse 22, and it reads, ye worship, ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Okay, you've all taken comparative religion classes. All of you who've gone to college, they've all taken some comparative religion classes. And it amazes me that when people say they've taken comparative religion classes, they come out of that class and they tell me, well, you know, pretty much all religion is the same. We all kind of worship the same God. I mean, you know, it's not that big a deal. You know, some people call him Allah, some people call him Jehovah. You know, they concentrate on the things that these religions, monotheistic, polytheistic, they concentrate on the things that these religions have in common. But it amazes me that they don't ever bring up the stark contrast. Christianity is those who follow Jesus Christ. Well, here Jesus Christ, and then also they tell you whenever you're talking to people about comparative religions, when you're trying to convince people to become a Christian, or you're trying to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, you got to kind of sneak up on them with the gospel. Let's see how well Jesus sneaks up on people with the gospel. Jesus is talking to a person, and Jesus says, you don't even know who you're talking about. He says in John 4:22, he says, ye worship, ye know not what. He goes, you don't even know who you're worshiping. You're bowing down to things that you don't even know what they are. And then Jesus himself says, salvation is exclusively of the Jews. He says, God has chosen, that's where you get the term chosen people. He says, God has chosen the Jewish community, nobody else, to represent him, and to carry his message from the pages of this book into the real world. So Jesus says, salvation is of the Jews. You don't even know whatever your religion is. And understand, this is America. So you are allowed to believe whatever it is you want to believe. But when you come out of comparative religion class, please don't come out and tell somebody that Christianity is like anything else. Because Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. How do you come away from that and say, well, you know, it's sort of kind of like Buddhism? No, it's not. And Christians, please, my brothers and sisters, don't be afraid to take a stand for Jesus. That's all John is saying here. John says, I want that you could be convinced that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. The only way you know about the anointed one is he's the promised one. Promised to who? He was promised to the children of Israel. He was promised to the Jews. That's why we get our understanding from their holy book. We understand who the Messiah is, and we understand who the one true and living God is, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And John says, don't back down off of that. And John says, I want that you would be first convinced, and then I want that you would tell other people the good news. See, because if you're drifting around from belief to belief, and you don't really know what salvation is, you don't know how to get back into a right relationship with God. When Adam sinned is something, we teach this in CEF, because people say, well, what is sin? Some people think, you know, when they think sin, they think heinous things. They think murder and mayhem. But really, sin is any bad thoughts, bad words, bad deeds, anything that we say or do that separates us from God. That's sin. And so if you have any of that in your life, and we all do, then you need to be reconciled. We need to be reconciled to God. So let's move with this point about this man named Jesus. We live in a society where they give you consumer reports and consumer ratings on everything. They even got apps on your phone that, hey, you want to rate a restaurant? You want to rate an auto mechanic? Whatever you want to rate, you can go to your phone and you can rate it. And you know people live by that. People live and breathe and die by that. And all John is saying is that if you come to my gospel, the gospel of John, and you want to rate Jesus, and you get a 5-star+ rating on Jesus. Because John says, there's no other name higher than that name. And just like when you're on Facebook and when some of these other things, you don't hesitate to recommend to somebody, hey, go to this restaurant. It's been really good. Go to that car mechanic. It's been really good. Why can't you say, go to Jesus? He's been good. Go tell somebody about, if you're convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, don't be bashful. Don't be shy. You recommend him to those who don't know him. And the thing I love about what the Bible teaches about Jesus is you start with Jesus was a Jew. That may come as a shock to some of the people, the Jewish world, but Jesus was a Jew in the flesh. His name was Yeshua. And he came as a Jew. And he not only followed the law of Judaism, he fulfilled the law of Judaism. And I want you to know that Judaism, when you start doing your comparative religions, Judaism is the only religion or faith that you can build on that builds on a sound foundation. I worked construction for a while. That's about 36 years of my life. I worked construction for about 36 years of my life. And I found out that your foundation is absolutely critical. The foundation of whatever you're building has got to be absolutely spot on. And can you imagine? Can you imagine someone trying to build a building, and instead of starting with the foundation, They start with the roof. That won't work very well because you don't have anything to build on. When you start on any other religious footing other than Judaism, because Judaism is the only religion that has ever been revealed by God, by the one true and living God himself. God chose, that's why they call them the chosen people, because God chose them to reveal himself to the world. It's really a very basic concept, because anybody who has any kind of product, they always have a free sample. No matter what your product is. If you sell cookies, if you sell donuts, people walk in and say, hey, try my donut. Here, try my cookies. It's a very basic concept. How will I know that cookie A tastes better than cookie B? Unless I look at them and examine them. God says, I'm going to take a people who are not a people. In fact, they're the least of all people. And I'm going to make them a great nation. And I'm going to hold them up as exhibit A for the whole world to see. Well, preacher, what about preacher? A lot of Jewish people don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in Christian faith, and some don't even believe in the Judaism at all. Has nothing to do with anything, because God said the promise is on him. The conduct is on him, because God is the only one who's eternal. People come, people go. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob says, I always was, I always am, and I always will be. He says, if Judaism is the only sound foundation for which you can build a faith, then Christianity is the only logical fulfillment to that foundation. Because all Christianity does is follow what the Jesus himself said, if someone speaks to you, if they don't speak according to the law and the prophets, and he's talking about the Jewish prophets, and he's talking about the Jewish law. He goes, if they don't speak to you according to the law and the prophets, there's no light in them. Leave them alone. Just walk away from them. So, again, John is writing a book which is designed to hit the heart, of all the readers and let you know that Jesus is that one that God promised back in the book of Genesis. He is the total fulfillment of all of the Jewish prophecies from Genesis to Malachi. Jesus is the fulfillment of them all. In Genesis 1 and 1, you see where it says, in the beginning, God created. Again, if you don't have that in your mind, in your heart, in your understanding, if you don't understand that in the beginning, God, he spoke everything into existence out of nothing. If you don't have that understanding, you can't get to the resurrection. You can't even get to the necessity of the cross if you don't have the foundation of Genesis. Let's move on. With Jesus, with this scripture, with the text that we're teaching today, he's saying, we want that you should believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, and these things are written for you, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, if he's the anointed one, if he's the one who is supposed to come, if he is the one who was promised in the book of Genesis, should there not be some kind of signs? Should there not be some kind of completion of the word? Shouldn't there be something that I can look at and I can say, aha, aha. See, that's the beauty of Christianity. The beauty of Christianity is the prophecies, how God spoke things before they happened, and then we could take our Bibles and we could go, ah. Okay, John, how do we know the four marks? How do we know that Jesus is the Messiah? There's many, 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 many prophecies. I'm just going to go down here through four things that let you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And these are all so crucial. And that's why they're all contained, the ones that we're going to talk about right now, they're all contained in the book of John. Because John says, I want you to know, I'm sold out. I am sold out for Jesus. There is no turning back. There's no hemming. There's no hawing. I am sold out for Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 29, we're still in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, verse 29, let me see a mark of the Messiah. Let me see a sign that Jesus is the Messiah. In Mark chapter 1, verse 29, we see where John the Baptist, and this is another guy who didn't know anything about comparative religions, because John the Baptist, he would tell the Pharisees when they would, it said that all Israel would come out, and he baptized all Israel. Jews, y'all, Jews. This is all about the Jewish faith. And John the Baptist baptized them in the Jordan River, and when he saw the Pharisees coming, John, instead of, you know, they're always telling you to build bridges with people, you know, so you can, you know, so learn how to be nice to people when you're evangelizing. Don't be so, John said, who warned you, you brood of vipers? Who told you? And by the way, y'all, don't forget, John didn't go into the city limits. John preached outside the city limits, and they came to John. So the Jewish people had to humble themselves and turn back to God. John returned them back to their faith that they were starting to diminish in. And so here we go in John 1, the disciple, Apostle John, he writes in John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming, John the Baptist, that's who we're talking about. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Church, that's big. That's big. See, because according to the Jewish tradition, according to the Jewish word, what they did was they had daily sacrifices. They sacrificed lambs and goats and bullocks. They had daily sacrifices. And all the priests had to be cleansed and everything had to be, but everything was only for a year. It was an atonement. It was an atonement. It wasn't permanent. And what John the Baptist is saying about Jesus, he goes, behold, the Lamb of God. So where does that terminology come from? Go to Genesis 22:8. Genesis 22:8. Where does that terminology come from? Where does that, because you have to use the Jewish scriptures because only the Jewish scriptures tell you about who the one true and living God is. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, we have the account, most people are familiar with this account, where Abraham took his son Isaac, and he took him up to Mount Moriah, and he was going to sacrifice his son, and he had tied him onto the altar, and he was ready to bring down the knife and sacrifice his son. And look what it says. Isaac said to his father, he said, I see the wood, I see the fire. Where is the lamb? And in verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now notice, he didn't say God will provide for himself a burnt offering. He said, God said, I will provide myself a burnt offering. Fast forward back to John, to the Gospel of John. John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away, not just covers up, but he takes away the sins of the world. Why is it so important to take away the sin? Because sin brings about death and suffering, and only the blood of the Lamb is the permanent sacrifice. There's your first sign, your first sign of the Messiah. Second sign of the Messiah, John chapter 2, verse 19. And all the signs, everything has to come true. Any prophecies have to come true. John chapter 2, verse 19. John chapter 2, verse 19. And it reads, Jesus speaking to his disciples. Jesus, don't forget, he not only is a prophet, a priest, and king, he's God himself. Jesus actually speaks of himself when he says in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 19, excuse me. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, Jesus told his disciples, he said, and he was speaking of himself. He said, if y'all destroy this temple, in other words, if I be crucified, if I get crucified, if I get killed and I get put in the tomb, I will only be there for 3 days. The Bible says he used a borrowed tomb. He used a borrowed tomb because there ain't no sense paying for something you ain't going to use very long. Amen. He used a borrowed tomb. So, again, here is the sign. Now, if he does this, if it comes to pass, if he really gets up out the ground, then he must be the Messiah. Another sign of the Messiah, John. He says, John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. Another sign of the Messiah, John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. This is, some of you are familiar with the account. The account, the Messiah has got to be able to bring other people back from the dead. Before he can show that he can raise himself from the dead, he's got to show he has power over life and death. And so that's where we see the account of Lazarus. And the Bible says that Lazarus died and he was in the grave 4 days. But I just want y'all to know, because we need some help here with this. I want you to know that Lazarus' sisters, they prayed. They prayed. From the moment Lazarus got sick, they prayed. And the Bible tells us that Jesus took his own sweet time about getting there. That used to bother me. Jesus took his own sweet time about getting to his friend Lazarus. And they said by the time he got there, Lazarus has already been in the grave 4 days. And not only had he been in the grave 4 days, but his body had begun to decompose. And by our standards, all hope was gone. By our standards. Not only was all hope gone, but by our standards, Jesus blew it. Because even Mary and Martha said, if you had come here sooner, we saw you. We knew you could heal sick people. We already see, Lord, we already saw you give sight to blind people. We already saw you help cripple people out. And we know that when people are sick, when they're low sick, we know that you can heal them. But what they didn't know is that no matter how far gone you are, Jesus has authority over every situation. And if you die in Christ, you will be raised again. Because he has the power over life and death. And the Bible says in these verses right here, in chapter 11, verses 41 through 42, we're looking for the signs of the Messiah, 41 through 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, and that they may believe, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The question of the day is, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Because John says, if you don't come away with that understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you will walk away from here today still dead in your trespasses and sins. Because you don't have a lamb. Jesus is our lamb. He is the Lamb of God. And if you don't have a lamb, somebody has to pay for your sins. Every religion, no matter how animalistic it is, no matter how polytheistic it is, no matter how monotheistic it is, somebody has to pay for sin. And if it's not going to be Jesus, it's going to be you. And the Bible says, God says he wishes that none should perish. So to that end, Jesus, John, the Apostle John, wrote an entire book dedicated to convincing people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What's my last mark of a Messiah? What we're talking about today, which is Palm Sunday. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 13 and 15. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 13 through 15. And it reads, he's talking about the triumphal entry. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass that sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Where is that found? Where's the tie between that in the Jewish faith, the Jewish Old Testament? Turn to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And it reads, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He says, here comes the king. First we have, behold, the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist told us. And then we have the people, the Jewish people, recognizing him as Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now. The King of the Jews. By the way, they put that on his cross. King of the Jews. Because if he's not the King of the Jews, he can't be the King of the world. Because salvation is of the Jews. And there's no other name given by which you can be saved other than the name of Jesus. We talked about the man named Jesus. We talked about the four signs of Messiah. Now we're going to talk about this thing called faith. This thing called faith. Because he says here in our scripture, he says, in our primary scripture, John 20, verses 30 through 31, and he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe, that you might believe, that you might have faith. Why is faith so important? The Bible tells you, how do I get this faith, preacher? How do I come to the understanding that Jesus is who he says he is? Well, in Romans 10:17, the Bible tells you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says that you sit down, listen, read the word, listen to the word, and believe the word. When you hear the name of Jesus lifted up, ask yourself, is there any other option for me? Is there any other name? You can try, go to those comparative religion classes, and I'm telling you, none of them, ain't no God like our God. Nobody can do like Jesus says from the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. He can save you no matter where you're at, no matter what your situation. Right now, you're locked down at home. You don't have a job. You don't have, your money's getting bad, and things are difficult and things are tight. But I want you to call on the name of Jesus, because Jesus says, if you're my child, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. For those of you who are sheltered in, you're sheltered in with Jesus. Do you hear that? I'm locked up with Jesus. It's like the Apostle Paul when he was chained to the Praetorian guards, and the guards didn't want to hear nothing about Jesus, but they were assigned to be chained to Paul all day long. And since they were chained to Paul, guess what? You know what Paul did? Paul told them about Jesus. He was chained to him. Y'all, right now, you got an opportunity to tie yourself up tight. Get cozy with Jesus. Pull out your Bible. Pull out the Gospel of John. Start at the beginning, where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Start right there and try and ask the Lord, pray and say, Lord, how does this work? I don't understand it. Pray. Ask him to give you wisdom. Ask him to give you understanding, and he'll open up the scripture. The Bible says that the men were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus opened up the Bible, and he started telling them everything that had to pertain to him, starting back in the book of Genesis. And they said, did not our hearts burn? Did not, when he opened up the scriptures, I'm challenging you today. Sit down. You got a Bible? You got a Bible somewhere? You got it on an app? You got a piece of paper? Open it up and see for yourself, is not this Jesus the Christ, the anointed, the one, the Son of the living God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Last thing on faith, Ephesians 2:8-9. Why is faith, why is this thing so important? Why do they keep saying, you got to believe? Because that makes a level playing field for everyone across the whole world.
See, not everybody has the same money. Not everybody has the same education. Not everybody has the same opportunity. But everybody has the ability to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why, that's where the faith comes in. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And it reads, for by grace, that's the power, that's the power source that God uses. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And I'll add through faith in Jesus Christ. But it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the biggest contradiction to the word of God, is that there's something somewhere that I can do to add to my salvation. There's nothing that you can do to add to your salvation. Jesus, the Bible says, behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God. It doesn't say, behold, Robert, behold, Sally. It says, behold, Jesus, the blood of the Lamb of God. And we keep wanting to insert something. We keep wanting to say, well, I can give money. I can give service. I can be nice. I can believe whatever I want to believe. That's not what the Bible says about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus says, if you believe that, you don't know who you're worshiping. Jesus said, not Pastor Will, Jesus said, if you believe that you can get to heaven any other way, you don't even know what you're worshiping. In fact, what you've probably done is you have created a God in your image instead of serving the God who created you in his image. Last thing, once you read about this, once you read all these things, once you read about this man named Jesus, once you read about the four signs of the Messiah, now understand, Jesus didn't write one word in this book, y'all. That's a big thing. That's a big deal. Muhammad wrote the Quran. Joseph Smith wrote his books. Buddha wrote his stuff. Jesus had witnesses write about him. That's a big deal. See, because I could tell you anything about me, and you wouldn't know it, but if I said I was the greatest basketball player except for the fact that I'm about a foot short, you'd say, well, boy, I can make myself into anything, but can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? And what Jesus did, before you can impugn the integrity of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you got to impugn the integrity of all 12 of the apostles, everybody who wrote about Jesus. This, when you read what John says, it calls for a decision. There's no way around it. It calls for a decision. And it's been well said that whoever they're talking about is either a lunatic, a liar, or he is the Son of God, which is who they say he is. And you can't play it with any other way. And God doesn't want you to play it out any other way. God says that I wish that none should perish. And then the Bible says that God so loved you and God so loved me that he took the time to develop this Jewish nation. He took the time to write this book. He took the time to put together the Hebrew scriptures. He took the time to give us an object lesson in the Jewish people in the community. And he shows us that he keeps his promises while all of us are still yet his enemies. God keeps his promises. And when he brought in Jesus as the Messiah, he was the fulfillment of every prophecy from Genesis to Malachi. And it was open to all the Jewish people, and then God opened it up to the whole world when he said in John 3:16, he said that for God so loved the world. That's us, y'all. That's everybody. This is a God who's got enough love for everybody. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, should have eternal life. I want you to stop thinking so much about death right now. I want you to stop thinking about, oh, this person's sick, and oh, they might not make it, and that person's sick, and they might not make it. Because the truth of the matter is, some of them won't make it. Some of them will not make it. But, ooh, I got good news for you. If they know my Savior, Jesus Christ, you know he got, when he got Lazarus up, he'd been gone 4 days. I want you to know that my Savior, no matter how, if they die with Jesus Christ on their lips, the Bible has promised them eternal life. The Bible says there's going to be a great day in the morning. The Bible says that no matter what happens to you here, because even believers go through all, believers have problems. Believers get sick. Believers die. Once. One time. And then they're raised into the glory of Jesus Christ. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I want you to have it. I want you to receive it. I want that today that you walk away believing what the prophet wrote, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you have made that decision, if you have examined, if you've taken a good look at this Jesus to see what he's about, to see what, if you've taken a good look at him, I want you to ask yourself, is it true? It's time for a decision. Is it true? And if you've come to the conclusion that Jesus really is who they say he is, let me tell you how to get into a right relationship with him. He says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You too shall be saved. You take a moment. You think about that. If you want Jesus, you bow right now. You bow right now. And you say, you pray. You pray. It could be a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be one of those long prayers. It could be a simple prayer. It could be something as simple as this. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of saving. I've heard the good news of your son, Jesus Christ. I've been told from the time I was a child that he's real. But today you've made it real to me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? And I can tell you, based on the authority of Scripture, the Bible says, you shall be saved. And if there's after this message, if you have questions about your salvation, if you have questions about Jesus, you can contact us on email, you can call this church, but we want to rejoice with you knowing that you have come to the knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God bless you. At this time, I will turn the service over to Brother Ward.
Good afternoon, online listeners. We're going to give a second opportunity for those other part of the millions that have come on to listen and watch the services to donate, or you can give offering. All the information, you should find it on the screen at this time. Thank you. Let's pray, Good Shepherd, and online listeners. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for this day. We ask and pray, God, that you would put your healing hands on this nation. Put your healing hands on our leaders, Heavenly Father, that they make the correct decision, Heavenly Father, that we may come through this virus, Heavenly Father. We know that the ones that you will take away are the ones that you want to be taken away from this earth, Heavenly Father. But we ask and pray, God, that we will follow our leadership, Heavenly Father, where it's the right thing to do. Now we ask and pray, God, that you would watching, God, over each one of our homes, watching, God, and put your healing hands over our cities, our towns. Now, Father, I just want to have a say a special prayer for my hometown in the Houston, Galveston, and Lamarck area. Pray for all of my sisters and my brothers around the country. And I pray for all of your sisters and brothers, your mothers, your fathers, your uncles, your nieces, your kids, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask and pray, God, you continue to be with us and keep us and guide us. Now we ask and pray, God, that all that is given and donated today will be used to further the missions of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And the church and online said, amen. Turn the service in the back of the hands of Pastor Milburn.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Warren. Thank y'all for listening. We appreciate you tuning in. We pray that you'll join us again next week. But when this is all over, doors of the church will be open, and we're looking for fellowship with one another. At this time, we're going to do our benediction. Would everybody please stand? Carl, can they see that on? Okay. Well, we'll just sing for y'all, and y'all can sing with us. This is the Abrahamic blessing. Okay. Everybody, wait 1 minute. Let us close out with a benediction. Okay, I think. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile on you, shine his light upon you. May the Lord lift you, turn his face towards you, and give you his peace. Give you his peace. It's our desire, it's God's desire, that during this very difficult time that you have the peace that surpasses understanding, that you have the peace that only a right relationship with Jesus Christ can give. Lord, as we go our separate ways today, Lord, see us through this evening. See us through this week. See us through this month, dear Heavenly Father. Bring us all back together again for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.